Evening, saints. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many come expecting the Lord to bless in this communion service? Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Will Praise Him. They were playing it earlier. I Will Praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Amen.
And I will praise Him.
Down.
seen.
Oh, and our eyes have seen, and our ears have heard. Yes, we have known what God has in store. So open up heaven and open it wide over your church, Lord, and over our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, yes, rain down.
Oh, comfort.
Oh, comforter and friend. Oh, how I need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down.
Just let your power.
Just let your power fall. And let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, oh, rain down.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints.
Thank you, Lord.
Prayer request from Sister Juliet says, I lost my checkbook 2 weeks ago. Please pray that the Lord would help me find it. Amen. So just pray that God would show her where that checkbook is. Amen. Just ask for the sign if you can lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings.
Just bow our heads. Dear and Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather again, Lord God, Lord, and Lord, we just thank you for this morning's service, Lord.
Yes,
the blessing,
man.
God, Lord, we keep all our words just right, God.
Amen.
Lord, and Lord, just help us not to, actually to keep our minds straight also, God, Lord, for out of our minds, Lord, come these words, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, help us to think on the word of God, Lord, continually, God, Lord, and rehearse the scriptures, Lord, and hymns, Lord, and spiritual sayings, God,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Anything is pure, lovely, God, and kind, Lord. Just anything you'd have us to think on, Lord, let's think on you, God. We love you, Lord. Lord, just help our sister here, Lord, find the checkbook, God, Lord. And maybe another testimony, Lord God, that'll be lifted up in heaven, God, for you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And Lord, just have your way again, Lord, in this service. We love you so much, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And let's just sing that song. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Amen.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Every promise.
Well, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
One more time.
Well, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every
amen. How many believe that? Amen. 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 We're going to want to sing a song. We didn't get to sing it the other night at the Salome's house because the ceilings were a little short for us. But we'll just sing that song, Higher, Higher, Lift Jesus Higher. Amen. F. Amen.
Higher, 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 lift Jesus.
unto Jesus, for He cares for wider, 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 spread the gospel wider, oh, wider, 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 spread the gospel wider, higher, 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 higher. Burdens unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Amen. Give the Lord an applause, saints.
Amen. We'll give you a break now. We have a special from Brother Philip. Amen. If you'd come at this time. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Been thinking about a song special for a little bit, and three times this past week, the song that I did for my first song special fell out of my Bible three times. So I'm going to do it again, and actually this time we have more instruments than the last time, so it is going to be B flat. I also renamed the song Battle Hymn of the Bride. It is Battle Hymn of the Republic, but I switch it to the Battle Hymn of the Bride. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Watchfires of the hundred circling camps, they have builded Him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read His righteous sentence by the dim and faring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, His truth. glory in His bosom that transfigures you and me. As He died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching.
His truth is marching on. It's marching in every one of us. Amen. And we do have another song special from some former Sprint and Sprint girls.
Stripes that so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wing. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so
been blessed just by what God's done in your life. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I got so much to thank Him for. Amen. How many can say that with an upraised hand? You got so much to thank the Lord for. Amen.
Well, I've got so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for. You see, He's been praise Him for, you see.
God. Amen. I'll tell you what, we almost got a record for Communion Sunday here. Good to see everyone able to press it out to the house of God this evening. Amen. You may be seated. I think I'll sing a song as we invite Brother Matt out. And praise ready. We all got a little overexcited at the Hong Kong buffet, those who went there, so we're all kind of running in a little late here. But by the grace of God, we made it back. And hope higher done worked you out. And you're... Sometimes you hear a song, you say, oh boy. But it's a good one to kind of get you around for service, amen, to hearing of the Word of God. And this is obviously a sacred moment that we have tonight as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we go into communion with one another. And I want to give Brother Matt as much time as we can. We'll sing the song. We'll invite him out as we sing this, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to sing that song. I haven't sung this in a long time either. We'll just go ahead and sing this. It's, He's Alive and Well. It's kind of a known song here. If you want to sing it with me, you can.
For He's alive and well, living in me to tell. In our hearts.
service, everyone needs something to kind of wake them up, keep them, help them get the blood flowing. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate the singing and playing. I'm not planning to sing anymore tonight. So. Let's open with a word of prayer this evening. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well and living in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us, that you've revealed yourself to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the reality that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, for this church and all the hard work that's went into keeping the doors open and having a local assembly for the people here. May they never lightly esteem it, but put their shoulder to the wheel and be here in as much as their power every time the doors open to support the work of God. For we know many times we come to church, we don't come for ourselves, but we come for someone else. We come to help keep the doors open so that souls can be reached through this soul-saving station here in northwestern Pennsylvania. Lord, we pray that you just bless, lead, and guide the leadership here, the ministry that would come, the people here, to just continue being led of your Spirit, Lord, not to be drawn aside into distractions or things that would keep them from your great purpose, but to just keep their eyes fixed on the goal, that sweet home of the soul. Lord, we know that the great purpose of a believer, of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to quicken us and to bring to life the seed of God in us. And then secondly, it's to give us power for service, as the song said. That Holy Spirit comes in you and power will come. Lord, help us to receive that power. Help us to yield to that power and just continue staying connected to you, Lord, that we can serve you, everyone, in whatever office you've called us, Lord. Help us to be faithful to that work. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we pray for the believers meeting in other places this evening, and not only here in North America, but in South America too, and wherever your people would be worshiping you. We thank you for all these blessings and favors that you've given to us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a minute or two again. I forgot to say this morning, I'm glad to see my in-laws here. It's nice to see someone from Pennsylvania. I know Sister Julia is also from Pennsylvania. I was going to say my home state, but actually my home state is Wisconsin. And Pennsylvania, I'm a Pennsylvania transplant about 5 years ago. 5 and a half, coming up on 6. And I find that the country's pretty similar, the weather's pretty similar, there's a lot of small differences, but really, you know, after 5, 6 years, it was really hard for me to leave the land of my nativity and where my roots went down for so many years, 30, 35 years, something like that. And but I find 5, 6 years down the road, it really been sort of like a faded memory. It really wasn't that important of an attachment. You just want to be where God wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do, whether that would take us to across the seas. It wouldn't matter as long as we have an attachment with Him. Amen? Amen. Things of this world are passing. So we want to just speak this evening, God willing, on Thanksgiving. This was a Thanksgiving message that I delivered at Thanksgiving time last year when our pastor was really occupied with taking care of his parents. And I was helping him out there, and just kind of had tweaked a few things here, just sort of felt led to go this direction, didn't know which direction to go. So just pray for us that we'll follow his leading this evening. Amen. Let's turn to Luke 10 and stand. Before we read that, I want to say that the word thanks and thanksgiving and thankful and thank are in the King James Bible 139 times. And most of these references are returning thanksgiving to God. And even Jesus, when he was on earth, gave thanks over food and drink and for other things. But in this passage, he thanks the Father. We'll read it together. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Chapter 10, verse 21 of the book of Luke. He rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Amen. You may be seated. And that was... A lot of times we think of Thanksgiving as, and we say it many times, we thank God for the material things we have, our homes, our vehicles, our clothing, job, food. But Jesus here is thanking God for hiding these things from the wise and prudent and revealing it to babes. Amen. And it's only those with eyes to see that can see these things. Amen. Matthew 13:16, the words of Jesus again, he said, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Amen. That's something to be really, truly thankful for. Amen. The Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is a light, the Bible tells us. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So the gospel, Jesus Christ, came in the world, and everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. And then in Psalm 119:105, it tells us, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Amen. So the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is a light. But when a light shines on a person, they're given the opportunity to move into the truth or to crawl back to darkness. And in Questions and Answers 61, the prophet said, You take the creatures that roam at night, roaches and beetles and bugs and things. Let the sun rise or let a light flash on. Watch how they take for darkness. That's the way the gospel is. When it flashes on, what happens to those who want to call you holy roller? What happens to those people who make fun of you? When the light flashes on, they shoot for darkness as hard as they can go. Our brother Cam was sharing over lunch there at the restaurant that he's met this minister and got to talk to this man. And Brother Cam said the way he felt led to talk to this man was just to say, I believe or follow the teachings of a man named William Branham. And he said the man's reaction was different than the ordinary reaction. He says, ordinarily it's kind of, what? Who? I remember one time speaking to a man in... We were in the line in the airport, and I said to him, we were waiting in line together, and he was a kind of a distinguished-looking man. I said, you know, it's grace that taught my heart to fear, but it's grace my fears relieved. And I said, the grace of God puts fear in you about being lost. And then he comes around and relieves that fear and gives you salvation. And I can't remember all what I said to him, but it was kind of a little stiff, you know, You need to have the fear of God in you, sir, you know, to be saved. And he says, you shouldn't talk to people like that, you know. That's not refined or plate, you know. I don't know. I guess not. Like John the Baptist wasn't refined or plate either. You know. He said, this is the message of salvation. You need to straighten up, you know. And I think there's a place for that. So, the Word of God, and many times, you know, we've seen it. Light shines upon a person, and you try to bring up something about God or talk about God, and people just crawl back and huddle back and, you know, reject, and they don't want anything to do with it. And that's a natural reaction for a person who's without God. Unless there's something in them drawing them, and we know there's some that have, like the Apostle Paul, that fight against it and fight against it, and the next thing they know, they're preaching the gospel, you know. I understand our brother Cam was something on that order. And we praise God. Amen. So you don't want to give up either. You don't say, oh, you know, they rejected me. You know, I'll never, they're serpent seed. They're wrote off. No. You know, we don't know. You know, what did the people think of Saul or Paul on that day? Going around breathing out threats and ordering the Christians to prison and all these things. He looked like a pretty bad man. And here he turns out being a man today, you know, we speak so reverently of, the great Apostle Paul. And yet he was humble about it and said he considered himself, you know, not even worthy to be an apostle. But that's a common reaction, people in the world, is to just crawl back. But the children of the day, reading on here, walk in the light. And then we are the children of the light by the grace of God. So when the lights flashed on, we thanked God and walked with our eyes open.
Amen.
Now I'll say another thing here. Many times, God opens our eyes by His grace. He opens the believer's eyes. They're brought into a whole new world. As one of our songs we sing back home says, I'm living in a brand new world. You know, He opened up my blinded eyes, and now I had a grand surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. And you come in that place, and a lot of times Satan comes in, and he says, uh-oh, their eyes are opened. You know, but and I can't change their mind. But maybe I can kind of get their focus a little bit off here. Maybe I can throw a little weed seed in there and kind of get this thing choked out a little bit. So he begins, you know, the good seed sowed, and the wicked one goes out and begins sowing those tares and those weeds. And those weeds, you know, the Bible tells us, as Jesus gives a parable of the kingdom of God, if we're not careful, the cares of life and business and family and homes, that this stuff can begin to grow in and choke out the Word of God in our lives. And he tries all kinds of tactics, because he knows if you would keep your eyes single and keep your eye full of light, that you're going to be sold out to God and you're going to be a worker for the kingdom of God. So he throws in worldlyism and worldly things, and he throws worldly things in churches many times, you know. And he throws in business opportunities and things like this to try to distract you from the main purpose. Promotions that may involve working every Sunday. You know, oh, but it's such a good job. You know, you can't turn it down. You know, but you got to turn it down. You know, I mean, what kind of church would you have here if everybody got promoted where they worked every Sunday? You know, you'd have to meet on Saturdays. It's just not feasible in our society, you know. You know, because a lot of people work Saturdays, so they can have off Sunday, things like that. So I know we're not, we don't honor Sunday necessarily. I don't want to get into doctrine again, brother. But we don't honor Sunday as a Sabbath, like the Jews kept Saturday as a Sabbath. But yet, this is the day that we've chosen to meet, and the church has been choosing this since the times of the apostles. And, you know, there's 6 days we can work. So, but Satan, he likes to try to throw all these things. And you ever notice when you go to witnessing to somebody or talking to somebody, and God, they really begin getting serious about the things of God, all kinds of stuff will break loose in their life. You know, and, we got a young lady I'm talking to now, and or talking to a little bit at a restaurant I work at. She says, "Yeah," she says, I'd like to come visit the church." She says, "But we got this house. We just bought this house, and it just needs so much work, and we're trying to get it ready to move in. And after we move into our house," she says, I think I'm going to try to come." You know, say, "Well, that's fine. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, God starts softening up somebody's heart, and trying to draw them to Him. The devil starts throwing in stuff. You know, trying to emergencies, lighting fires over here, lighting fires over there. You know, and they're running around putting out fires." And little do they realize they're headed for one great big fire if they don't get their priorities straight and just lay aside every weight that would so easily beset them and the sin that would so easily hinder them and just set their focus on Christ. So anyway, as we see the light and it flashes on us and we see that, Satan tries to come with many distractions. Now getting back to thankfulness here. Philemon 1:4, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." So talking about being thankful for food, shelter, clothing. And we need to be thankful for them. But here the apostle writing is thankful for the love and the faith that the people have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Amen. Love and faith to Jesus and the saints. That's something to be really thankful for. Amen. Amen. Not everybody has that love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints. So that's something to really be thankful for. And again here in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." So Paul is thanking the Lord that he had mercy on him, even though he did all these bad things. He said, "I was ignorant. I thank God he overlooked all that. And he put me in the ministry." That's what he's thankful for. Amen. Amen. And I believe that's something we can be thankful for. If God has put us where we can be in a ministry, maybe preaching the word, maybe taking some other office in the church. You know, as our brother was saying the other day, sometimes 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And maybe it's to be one of them people that are doing the work or trying to step in and help those that are doing the work. You know? Amen. Maybe that's part of the ministry that God has for you. Amen. The things of life are necessary, but it ought not to be the focus for our thanksgiving. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, where Jesus speaks about clothing and food and shelter, and he says, "Take no thought for these things." So that ought to be our focus of our thanksgiving, even, or of our lives. Now, unthankfulness, this Thanksgiving message, and I think it's fitting for communion because it's remembering what the Lord did for us. Unthankfulness is the opposite of thankfulness. And 2 Timothy 3:1 tells us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come," or dangerous times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And we understand we're in the last days. Amen? And this is part of the spirit of the last days, is unthankfulness. And the word spoil is a word I think of related to unthankfulness. Someone who's spoiled tends to be unthankful. And the word spoil is defined as to ruin something. Think about it. If a piece of fruit sits out too long, it spoils. It gets ruined. Spoil is also defined as specifically to impair the disposition of, as by overindulgence, or as to spoil a child. So you're hurting someone's personality by giving them too much. That's what overindulgence means. And the word indulge, and I think this is really interesting, it's from a Latin word, indulgere, and it means to be kind or to yield to. We're talking about unthankfulness right now. And you can spoil a child by overindulging them. But indulging a child is to be kind to them and to yield to them. Now, how many parents in here believe in being kind to your children? Well, praise the Lord. Most of our parents. And how many believe in yielding to your children? No? Yes? Sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes. That's right. Yeah, if you never yielded to your children, it'd be a pretty rough household. I'm going to tell one of my mother-in-law, since she's here. This is one of our family stories. And I wake everybody up. And this is a good one. It was a banana. And something about, and I wasn't there. I didn't know the family yet. The children were young. Something about a banana, and the child was supposed to be eating this banana. And the child, oh, but Mom, it's not, there's something wrong with this banana. I don't want to eat this. And I can't remember who it was. One of the parents, we'll be safe. I don't remember. One of them says, just eat the thing. You know, and you know how you as parents are. Not going to yield at all. This is the, you eat your food to every last bite. You're going to train that child, right. And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, strict parent. Well, then she found out the banana was all rotted, you know. And she felt so bad, she said, because she's trying to get her daughter to eat a rotten banana, you know. Well, she wouldn't eat it herself. Well, that's a good time to yield to your child, you know. But Mom, look at this banana. Would you eat it? You know. There's a time to yield to your child. There's definitely time to be kind to your child. There's nothing wrong with kindness and yieldingness to children. Amen, children? Amen. One of them's following. Two of them are following. That's right. That's right. But now overindulging, it's just like, you know, the example of a fruit, since we're talking about fruit, banana. A banana, you set that out on the counter, and if it's really green, it needs a little time to sit out there. But if you are overly yielding to leave it out on the counter, it starts turning a little brown. And that's when I like to eat them, when they're just a little bit brown, you know, little brown spots. But if you keep it out there, then before you know, you got the fruit flies flying all over, and it just gets really soft, and most people kind of lose their taste for it around that point because they overly yielded to leaving that banana on the counter. And it's the same thing with the child. You know, if to yield and to be kind to a child is a good thing, or to anybody for that matter, like a boss to an employee. To yield and be kind to an employee, we all appreciate that when we're working for them. But to be overly yielding or overly kind turns into overindulgence. And what that can do is spoil someone, as the word is. And it says here, another definition is to spoil, in other words, is to weaken one's character by being overly kind to them or yielding to them too much. And that's kind of a real-life words definition of spoiling. So in other words, too much of a good thing is not a good thing. Because it's good to yield. It's good to be kind. But too much of that is not a good thing. Kind of like what we were talking about this morning. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Nothing but grace. Well, that's a little bit too much of a good thing. Because that grace teaches. That grace that taught your heart to fear came and relieved your fears. But if you weren't taught to fear, it was the goodness of God that led you to repentance. But if there wasn't something that led you to that point that pricked your heart, like on the day of Pentecost, and said, "You with wicked hands have crucified this Prince of Life." If you don't get to that point, you're missing something very critical. You're missing the very foundational building block of a Christian life, which is repentance. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then you can receive the Holy Ghost. But there's no shortcuts. There's no skip over that difficult, maybe painful, soul-searching, crying. Except a grain of wheat fall in the ground, it'll abide alone. That's what Jesus said when they came to him and said, "We would see Jesus." And then he says in another place, "Ye must be born again." And if a grain doesn't fall in the ground and die and rot, new life will not come forth. And it's the same with the individual. If you don't have that dying, rotting, dying out experience, new life will not come forth in you. Amen. So grace teaches us that. It's not just all happy, wonderful, glorious things. There's some dying. There's some rotting. There's some repenting. There's some crying. Not a dry-eyed repentance. So we need those things. A little bit of sunshine, a little bit of rain. And with it together, the plant will grow. Too much of either one can make it difficult. So sometimes when we receive an abundance, we get less thankful. Talking about thankfulness, unthankfulness, being spoiled, receiving too much of a good thing. Proverbs 27:7 says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." We use this a lot with our children. You know, they say, "Well, I'm hungry." Say, "Then eat a banana." We're back to the bananas again. It's the theme of the evening. And, "I don't want a banana." Well, then you're not hungry. Mom and I, we're pretty consistent on that one. You know, "Oh, if you're hungry, you'll eat what we give you." Because the full soul doesn't even want a honeycomb. You know, when you get done at the Chinese restaurant or at the buffet, you know, you don't even want a dessert anymore. You're just done. But the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet to them. You know? And when you're hungry, you'll eat. Our pastor likes to quote the pastor before us, his wife at that church there. It's kind of a handful, but she said, "It's a proven fact, when a child is hungry, they will eat." And I've noticed that, you know, if we, maybe at the house, we skip lunch or something like that, and my wife prepares the supper. If the children haven't had been eating, they've been real busy playing, they maybe didn't think to eat and stop and that. When they sit down to supper, they will just eat and eat and eat. There'll be no complaints. There'll be no, and they just eat all their food up. And that's a wonderful thing to see, you know, especially for a mother and a cook, you know. But if they've been picking and snacking and picking and snacking, then when they get to the supper table, it's kind of, "I don't like this, and I don't want that," you know, and just kind of an unthankful attitude, you know, and it kind of perturbs the mother, you know, or the cook. Another scripture on this, Numbers 21:5, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. So the people, they've been satisfied with all this manna that God had been raining down, and now they're saying, oh, you know, we're just tired of it. You know, this is just too much, you know, and we don't even want this manna anymore, you know. They're just discontented with what God was giving them. Think of when I worked for UPS over the holidays, when we were in transition, moving from Wisconsin here. We were staying in Butler at my in-laws, and I didn't want to get a job there, permanent job, so I went and worked at UPS to make a little bit of extra money to keep going, and ended up riding around with some of the drivers once in a while. Most of the time I worked back in the warehouse unloading trucks and stuff. But when I rode around with the drivers, I found the first driver, he was real crabby, you know, and just had a real kind of grumpy disposition about him. But, you know, pleasant enough fellow to work with. He wasn't really difficult or anything, but he just didn't seem very happy. And then the next fellow, oh, you know, pleasant fellow, but, you know, I should have been a cop. You know, I was in school to be a cop, and they gave me, you know, I started working here, and I ended up, you know, driving truck. I thought, well, I'll just drive truck, you know. And he says, but I really should have been a cop. You know, it would have been better, you know. And then somebody else I worked with, oh, you know, it's a decent job, but the hours are crummy. You know, you start late, you get home late, and, you know, he has kind of a farmer, and he didn't really, you know. So finally I get to my fourth driver. I'm thinking, you know, I thought this was really a pretty good job here. You know, they good pay, good benefits, you know, all this stuff like that. And even as a temporary, they paid pretty well and had decent, you know, programs and that. I thought, well, I thought this would be a good place to work, but it seems like it's pretty bad, you know. And I got with the second veteran in that UPS district. He was the second oldest driver out there. And he just enjoyed his job, and, you know, he was energetic and all this. And I said, well, you know, I find these, you know, these other guys, it doesn't seem like it's a very good job. He says, oh, they're all complainers, you know. He says, it's a great job. So, what was it? You know, just unthankful, you know. And, you know, you hear that. I talked to some of the managers over there at GE in our city there where we live nearby. It's the biggest plant in the area. You know, they pay a really good wage, kind of like an automobile manufacturer type. They make trains up there. And according to the managers, you know, with the union and the guys, it's always a lot of, you know, bickering and complaining. And the brother in church who works there, the same thing, you know, he says, there's just a lot of discontentment, you know, among that kind of stuff. Why? Because that's just the spirit of the age we live in, you know. Sure. And people just don't realize how good they have it, you know. And one thing it would really help, I think, sometimes, you know, would take them out of that plant or out of that, off that truck and get them out here, you know, digging ditches back here for $8.95 an hour or something like that with no benefits and, you know, and you want more time, you know, you want more pay, you work overtime, you know, or whatever, you know. And then see, maybe then put them back in that place and they might be a little more thankful, you know. But then you get that kind of entitlement attitude, you know, well, you know, and we ought to have this and we ought to have that. But really, we're not entitled to anything, you know. We ought to be thankful for whatever God gives us. Amen. Once again, watch a child who is showered with gifts and how they react. And watch a child who has very little receive a gift. A lot of times it just tends to kind of, the more you have, the more you get, this makes you less thankful. Part of it's the day and age that we live in. We've been reading at the house, and we haven't done much lately, but we were reading the Little House books, which go back to the 1800s. And in the 1800s, the girl, the little girl, she got a doll for a Christmas gift. And it was just a great thing. She treasured it, and that was her only doll, you know. And today, you know, dolls are a dime a dozen. You know, a doll here, a doll there, a doll everywhere. And part of it is the society that we live in. Back then, they didn't have mass production. So things were not so easily acquired. But now, because of the modern invention of mass production, they can just crank them out, you know. And it gets to the point, things are so easily acquired in our society that it is not unusual for a tenant, when they're evicted from an apartment for not paying their rent, they don't have money to pay their rent, they leave all their stuff behind. Why? Because they can always get more stuff later. You know, it's no big deal. And then the landlord has to go in and get a dumpster and throw it all away. Or pay somebody to throw it all away. And some of these individuals in this situation are on public assistance. So they're not even working jobs. But they have so much stuff, they just leave it behind and move on. Don't worry about it. That's how easily things are acquired in our society. And any of you that have any storage space know one of the rules of modern American society is however much space you have, you will find stuff to fill it up. You know, it'll just like multiply. People will be like, oh, you know, brother, sister, friend, uncle, could you use a this or that? You know, oh yeah, you know, I might need a this or that a few years from now. So you put it back in the corner, you know, and then, you know, oh, here's something else, you know. And those of you that are newly married and starting out in life, probably it's hard for you to understand because when you start out like that, you don't have much stuff. You know, you're like, oh yeah, I'd like that and I'd like that. My wife and I were there about 10 years ago, you know. Oh yeah, we could use that, we could use that. And now we're at the point, you know, it's like, what are we going to do with all this stuff? You know, you just get overwhelmed. That's the age we live in. So on this thought of thankfulness and unthankfulness, the word appreciate has two primary meanings. One of the meanings is to be grateful for something, to appreciate something. And the other meaning of the word appreciate is to set a just value on or esteem fully the worth of. So if you appreciate something, you really understand what it's worth. And a good little story to illustrate this comes from another of the Little House books titled Farmer Boy. And in this book, Almanzo is a 9-year-old boy, and he has a cousin who bought lemonade for 5 cents. His cousin teases him. His cousin lives in town, and Almanzo's a farmer boy. His dad's a farmer, a good farmer, a prosperous farmer at that. And his cousin teases him and says his father would not give him the money for a lemonade. Almanzo has never asked his father for money before. But he asks his father for the 5 cents. Almanzo's father, a well-to-do farmer, gives his son 50 cents. But before and as he gives him the 50 cents, he explains the value of money and all the work that goes into 50 cents, which is what they would sell one bushel of their potatoes for. And Almanzo knows well about work. The whole family knows work. They know work better than most of us will ever know. You know, they're out there before the sun comes up, planting the potatoes. They're out there in the middle of the night, sprinkling water on the crops because they're concerned about frost, you know, all night, trying to keep the frost off their crops. And in winter, they have projects they work on. You know, they have projects year-round. They're plenty of work. And Almanzo did a lot of work at 9 years old. So he explains to him all the work that made up that 50-cent piece, which is all the work that went into producing a bushel of potatoes. And then his father advises him not to waste the money on lemonade, but to invest it in buying an animal to make more money. So Almanzo takes the 50 cents, he takes his father's advice, and he goes and buys himself an animal, which is, I think, a baby pig. And then he ended up, you know, increasing his money there. So, getting back to our thought here, the word appreciate has two primary meanings, and the second one is to set a just value on or to fully esteem the worth of it. Almanzo's father wanted him to fully understand the worth of that 50 cents and all the work that went into it. I think I remember when he gave the money to his son, he said, "Son, do you know what this money represents?" He says, "No, Dad." He says, "This money represents work, because there's work to produce a bushel of potatoes went into this 50 cents. And that kind of made his son decide to take that money and put it somewhere where he could multiply it rather than spend it on lemonade. How can one be grateful for something if they do not understand the value of it? And I think that's why a lot of times these people leave all their stuff behind. They didn't work to pay much for it. It was sort of given to them, and handed to them, and granted to them. So why do they care? You know? They say, "Well, I've got to spend, you know, $500 on a moving truck to move this stuff. I might as well just leave it all." You know, it doesn't have a value to them. They don't understand the value of it. A Southern Gospel song says, "Lord, thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for. You've done so much for me," or something like that. "It's not that I'm ungrateful. I'm just forgetful, Lord. So I thank you for the things that I never thanked you for." And I thought about that, and I thought, really, to be grateful, the song says, "I'm not ungrateful. I'm just forgetful." But what they're saying is, I'm forgetting. This is the way I took it. You can take it a couple different ways, I guess. But if you forget to return thanks, that's called ingratitude. You know? And if you forget to say thanks, you know, somebody gives you something or does something for you, you're like, "Oh, yeah, all right, you know, okay." Well, you forgot to say thanks. You forgot to be thankful. You are unthankful because you didn't return thanks. And a good example in Scripture on this is in Luke 17, 11 and 10. There were 10 lepers healed, and there was one who returned and gave thanks. And Jesus points out there, he did not want to be forgotten. Because remember, the song says, it's not that I'm ungrateful, I'm just forgetful. Well, all these 9 forgot. They may have felt in their heart like they were thankful. "Oh, wow, you know, I'm really happy about this." But they forgot to give thanks. And Jesus says, "Where are those other ones? You know, all this was done for all of you. Why didn't they come?" Kind of reminds me of a grandfather or a great uncle or great aunt or someone saying, "Did you get my gift, son?" You know, "Oh, yeah, I did. Well, I never heard from you." You know, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot." Huh? See? You've been unthankful. You forgot to return thanks. See? And that's what happened here with these lepers. And I think we all forget, you know. But it's no excuse, because forgetfulness is ingratitude. For you are failing. Remember the definition of appreciate is to value something. You failed to value their gift enough to return thanksgiving. So if you really appreciate or you really understand the value of what was done for you, you'd be careful to return thanksgiving. When a great or wealthy man or woman dies, they often set up a memorial so that they will not be forgotten, such as a foundation in their name to give their money away, or a bridge or a road named after them. Some of our outstanding presidents have great stone memorials, and their pictures are on our money. And God is the greatest being of all, and He does not want to be forgotten either. He wants the preeminence. Amen? And He's given us the greatest gift of all. Amen. How we ought to return thanks to Him. Amen. And we ought to return thanks to every person that does something for us. Amen. We don't want to be under the spirit of the age of unthankfulness, spoiled, overindulged, too much Laodicean, rich, have need of nothing, too much good things. We don't appreciate the things we have. Amen. We want to really rightly value the things we have. And truly, there's no greater gift we have than the gift of salvation, the gift of revelation that we read about in our opening scripture. Jesus said, rejoiced in His Spirit and said, I thank You, Lord, that You've hid this from wise and prudent, but You've opened it to our eyes. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Let's stand and just return thanks for His great gift. Amen. One more scripture on His gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the gift that He gave to us. Amen. Let's sing that chorus as our musicians come. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so full and free. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me for us day in and day out. The big things.